We've been on a series lately called Let's Begin in 2010. Let's Begin in 2010. And last week, in honor of Valentine's Day, we spoke about the God kind of love. See, the world, those who are not Christians, they love selfishly. This is the way the world thinks. If you pat my back, I'll pat your back. If you do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. But the God kind of love is so much greater than that. It's a pure love. It's an unconditional, no strings attached kind of love. And the word that's used in the Greek in the New Testament is agape. Agape is the God kind of love. And the God kind of love chooses to love the unlovable. Chooses to love the unlovable, those who are different than yourself. And the God kind of love does not expect any type of payment in return. And that's the way God loved us, you and me, and the whole world. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so agape'd the world. While we were yet in an unlovable state, God loved us. And God didn't require any type of payment from you and me. The only thing that God required of us was faith in his son, Jesus Christ, and our complete devotion to him. And so if God loved us with the God kind of love, our responsibility as Christians is to love others with the God kind of love, to agape those that are different than ourselves. There may be people in your life, friend, that don't think like you, that don't smell like you, that don't dress like you, that are annoying to you, that are hard to love. But the God kind of love says that if that person is in need, you are to reach out and love that person who may be unlovable to you, expecting no kind of payment in return. The God kind of love is a self-sacrificing, self-denying kind of love. Is that making sense? It's a love that loves with no strings attached. And you know what? God is keeping an account of your good deeds, of the way that you love others. God will eventually repay you. Is that good news? All right, today I want to kind of transition and talk to you about how valuable you are. I want to talk about how valuable you are. And friend, in this year, in order to go forward this year with your life, with the better thing that God has in store for you, you have got to see yourself in a positive light. In order to go forward with a better assignment that God has for you this year, you have got to see yourself in a positive light. In other words, you've got to feel good about yourself. What does the Word of God say in Proverbs 23:7? It says, as a man thinks within his heart, so is he. The way you think about yourself will be the way you act toward yourself. Maybe as a child, friend, maybe you were talked down upon, belittled by maybe a parent or a grandparent, maybe a brother or a sister. Maybe they spoke down on you and said that you'd never amount to anything, that you were dumb, that you were a mistake, maybe an accident going someplace to happen. And I've heard of instances where parents have talked like this to their children. You're just dumb. You'll never amount to anything. You can't do anything right. And maybe that was you as a little child. And maybe today those words still resound in your mind. And because of that, you're not able to go forward with your life. Or maybe it was in an adult relationship. Maybe a best friend maybe backstabbed you and belittled you. Maybe it was a spouse who verbally abused you. But, you know, these people who talked down on you were inspired by the devil. Jesus said that the devil is a liar and the father of lies in John 8:44. But you know what? God thinks the world of you. God thinks the world of you. How many here know that a diamond is a very precious stone? Probably one of the most precious stones. I'm here to tell you today the good news is that in the eyes of God, you are a diamond. The better news is that in the eyes of God, you are worth more than all the diamonds in this world combined to God. He loves you so very much. He's got a good thing in store for your life. He placed you on this earth with a divine purpose. You're not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth with a God-ordained purpose. That's what God thinks about you, and that's the way you've got to start thinking about yourself. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You know, we've heard it said in the world before that, you know, man, this person is worth $500,000, or this person is worth $10 million. You know, people kind of equate a person's worth with money, which is sad. Or maybe a person has influence. Maybe he's a leader. Maybe he's a president. Man, that person is worth so much because he's the leader of a corporation or the leader of a certain nation. But you know what the good news is today? You are worth just as much to God as the richest person on the face of this earth. You are worth just as much to God as the most influential president on the face of this earth. The Word of God says in Acts 10:34 that God does not show favoritism. God is no respecter of persons. You are worth just as much to God as the most influential person on the face of this world, face of this earth. Do you agree? If you agree, say amen. Amen. And I want to talk about some of the biblical reasons for your great worth. Some of the biblical reasons as to why you are of such great worth in the eyes of God. If somebody can close that door back there. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Some of the reasons for your great worth. We're going all the way back to the beginning of time here, when God created man. Genesis 1:26 of Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the grounds." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. What does it mean to be created in the image of Almighty God? What does it mean to be created in the image of the Creator of this universe? Anybody have any ideas? What does it mean to be created in the image of God? Spiritual being. Okay, that's good. Anybody else? Copies of God, is that what you said? That's good. Holy. It means this, we're holy. It means that part of God is on the inside of every single one of you. Part of God is on the inside of every single one of the 6 billion plus people on the face of this earth. In a spiritual sense, in a figurative sense, you are flesh of God's flesh and bone of God's bone. Did you know when you help somebody in need, you're helping God? You're touching the heart of God. When you hurt somebody in need, or you hurt anybody, you are hurting the heart of God. Part of God is on the inside of everybody. Everybody, in a spiritual sense, remember this, is flesh of God's flesh, if you would, and bone of God's bone. How many here have a child? You love that child, right? Or maybe a brother or a sister, somebody that you share blood with. And say that this loved one, this child, this brother, this sister is living in another city, another state, and you have absolutely nothing to your name. And this loved one, this child is in desperate need of food. And this child or this loved one calls you and you're like, "Man, I'm sorry, I can't do anything. I have nothing to my name." And this loved one is telling you about a person who lives across from him, saying, "Man, this person has financial resources. This person has more than enough, and I've asked this person to help me who lives next door, but he won't help me. He won't give me any food. He won't help me in any way." And how does that make you feel? That hurts you on the inside, right? Because part of you is inside of that loved one. And it's the same way with God. When we hurt somebody else, we're hurting the heart of God. Because part of God is on the inside of everybody on the face of this earth. Now, on the other hand, opposite scenario, say that this person who lives next to your loved one helps him out, helps her out, gives him a week's or a month's worth of groceries. And this brother, this sister, this child is just overjoyed, communicates it with you, and your heart is overjoyed, right? Because your blood runs through that person. Is that making sense? Well, it's the same way with God. Part of God is on the inside of everybody. When we reach out to you, we're reaching out to God. When you reach out to somebody less fortunate than yourself, you are reaching out to Jesus himself. Does that make sense? Now, who's the most valuable on the face of this entire universe? Who is the most valuable in the face of this entire universe? I didn't say the entire world, but the entire universe. God himself, right? God the Father, God the Son. And if we're created in the image of God the Father, the most valuable in the universe, what does that make us? Very, very valuable. Making sense today? So don't let anybody or anything or any magazine or any literature belittle you. Don't let them tell you that you're an accident going somewhere to happen, that you'll never get anywhere in life. They are lying. They are being inspired of the devil. God thinks differently of you. You are so valuable. You are a diamond to God. He's got a wonderful purpose and plan for your life. Start thinking about yourself that way. Does that make sense? Another reason as to why you are of such great worth to God. Can anybody here think of another reason, the most important reason, as to why you are of such great worth to God?
Because Jesus died for us.
Jesus died for us. That's good. He created us, all right? Anybody else? Because He can use us. Well, let me ask you this. How is the value of any item determined? How is the value of an item determined?
Agreement.
What's that?
It's an agreement by the quality.
By the quality. Anybody else?
Price.
Who said that?
I did.
Where? You say it again. By the what?
By its price.
By its price. The value of an item is determined by the price that is paid for it. So I've got an item here. A pair of sunglasses. Do you know what the value of this pair of sunglasses is? There's a little more than that. What is the value of this pair of sunglasses? A little less than that. I'm a little frugal. $10. Why is the value of this pair of sunglasses $10? Because that's the price I paid for it. I paid $10 for it. Makes sense? So if, let's say one day you go out to buy a used car, right? And you pay $3,000 for it. What is the value of that car? Simple. $3,000. Why? Because that was the price that was paid for the car. So here's the comparison I'm trying to make today. It's the same way with us. What was the price that was paid for us? Our worth is determined by the price that was paid for you and for me. What price was paid for us? The blood. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 19. Let's back up to verse 18. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. What was the price paid for us? The blood, the spotless, precious, priceless blood of Jesus Christ. It is the most valuable blood in this world, in this universe. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of infinite worth, the blood of invaluable worth to pay for us. Why? Why did it take His blood to pay for our sins? Because our value is invaluable. Our worth is priceless. You see, it took the blood of infinite worth, priceless worth, invaluable worth to pay for us because our worth before the eyes of God is invaluable. It's priceless. It's infinite. Does that make sense? You see, we're not just here on this earth for 70, 80, or 90 years, friends. We will live on forever and ever and ever and ever one day into eternity. Eternity never ends. And because of that, each and every single soul, each and every single person is worth so much to God. And He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to shed that valuable blood of invaluable worth to pay for our sins. Because He loves us so very much. Now, because you're of such great worth in the eyes of God, He has got a special part for you to play in the body of Christ. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians Chapter 12, Paul likens the body of Christ to a human body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is what he says. In verses 14 through 17 of 1 Corinthians 12. We say it again, you have got a special part to play in the body of Christ. Don't let anybody, anything tell you differently. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Could you imagine the human body is one big eye, one big round eye, just rolling along? No, right? Or the human body just one big ear hopping along? It ain't going to work, right? It takes many different parts to make up this human body. And every single part in this human body is highly valuable and necessary. When one part suffers, the whole body suffers, right? When you stub your big toe. Anybody ever stub their big toe? Maybe you kick a door or you kick something, or maybe you slammed your finger in the car door. Anybody ever been there before? Maybe hammering with a hammer. And you accidentally hit that finger. You hit that little finger, but what happens? The whole body feels it, right? Because the whole body works in unison, in unity. Every part is necessary. And that's what Paul the Apostle writes in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go down to verse 27. Let's go to verse 26, actually. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Verse 28. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, the ministry of helps, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts? Friends, you've got a special part to play in the body of Christ. Maybe in the body of Christ, you're a mouth. What does a mouth do? A mouth communicates, it talks. And maybe God is calling you to reach a certain group of people in Tulsa or out of the city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't do your part as the mouth in the body of Christ, those people who should hear the gospel may never hear the gospel. They could be lost forever. Without you doing your part in the body of Christ will suffer. Is that making sense? Maybe your part in the body of Christ is to be the hands. What do the hands do in the body of Christ? The hands help. The hands help. So maybe in the body of Christ, you're the hands. You're called to the ministry of helps. And maybe at 6:30 every night here, you're called to help pick up these chairs so that people will have space in this room to eat their meal. Maybe as the hands in the body of Christ, you're called to cook in that back kitchen. Guess what? If you're not doing your part in the body of Christ as the hands, people who should eat or have a place to eat, may not have a place to eat. The body suffers without you doing your part. Why? Because you have a special part to play in the body of Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, friend, that you are not a spare part. You're not a spare tire in the body of Christ. You have a very important part to play in the body. Maybe you're the ears in the body of Christ. Where you hear from God, you speak to God, and God clearly speaks back to you, and you're the ears. Maybe it's a prophetic gift. You hear from God, and then you speak to the people. God is telling you a situation about a certain person, and you're hearing it. But if you're not hearing, you're not doing your part as the ear, the person who should be ministered to through your hearing will not be ministered to because you're not doing your part. So that goes to show that you're very, very valuable and important in the body of Christ. You might be the eyes in the body of Christ. Maybe God has given you a gift of discernment to be able to see into the spiritual realm. Guess what? If you don't do your part, everybody suffers. The people that should have been ministered to through your gift of being the eye will not be ministered to if you don't do your part. You've got a special part to play in the body of Christ. Do you agree today? Say amen if you agree.
Amen.
Don't let anybody tell you any differently. This is coming straight from the Word of God. Guess what? You've got a special role to fulfill in this world. You've got a special role to fulfill in this world. You're not on this earth just to take up space. You're not on this earth just to exist. You've got a special role to fulfill in this world in order to advance the kingdom of God. You know, your role might be to be in the construction industry. Did you know you can advance the kingdom of God in the construction industry? You can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with fellow construction workers. You know, maybe God has called you or is calling you to write a book to help advance the kingdom of God. Maybe He's calling you to start a business so that you can finance the advancement of the kingdom of God. He's got something for you to do in this world. And if you don't do your part, the kingdom of God suffers because it does not get advanced like it should get advanced. Does that make sense? I've said it before, and maybe some of you have the answer. If you know the answer, don't say it. But where is the wealthiest place in this world? Where is the wealthiest place in this world? If you know the answer, don't say it. But anybody want to take a guess? The wealthiest place in the world?
Heaven?
Graveyard. See, these brothers knew it. The graveyard. Why is the graveyard the wealthiest place in this world? See, these brothers have been attending. They've been faithful to these meetings. They've been learning something. He said the graveyard. Why is the graveyard the wealthiest place in this world? Anybody? What's that? Gifts that were never used. That's good. Anybody else? That's good. Anybody else? Why is the graveyard the wealthiest place in this world?
All the talents have been not used for the kingdom of God.
That's good. There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. People who should have advanced the kingdom of God that never did, should have written books and died without writing those books, should have started Christian colleges outside of Tulsa but never did, should have been evangelists in other cities and countries that never did, people who had the potential to begin corporations and advance God's kingdom never did it. You get the point here? There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. And I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. How about you? I want to do exactly what God has placed me on this earth to do. How about you? It should be the same, friends. You don't want to leave this earth and go to the graveyard and enter eternity not having fulfilled your potential. How many want to hear one day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant by God"? Well, if you want to hear that one day in heaven, start doing what God has called you to do on this earth for the advancement of His kingdom. Do you get the point today? Is it being clear? You see, friends, if you see yourself so low that you can like do a push-up under a penny, you'll never get anywhere in life. Because as a man thinks within himself, so is he. The way you think about yourself will be the way you act toward yourself. If you keep thinking about yourself that, man, I'm so dumb, I'll never amount to anything, I'm just a mistake. If those words keep resounding in your mind, guess what? You may be in the same place year after year after year doing nothing with what God has called you to do. But if you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, according to this, to His Word, then guess what? You will fulfill what God has called you to do on this earth. You got to speak to yourself on a consistent basis. When you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, start saying to yourself, "I am valuable to God. I am a diamond in the eyes of God." Say it with me. I am a diamond in the eyes of God. I am so valuable to God. God has got a special thing for me to do on this earth. I'm going to start seeing myself as God sees me. And if you speak that to yourself over and over and over, guess what? You'll start believing that about yourself. You'll do exactly what God has called you to do, and you will not be just another graveyard statistic. Amen? Brother Kevin Conwell has got a word for us in line with this message.
There's a parable. Once there was a man.
Wow, what an echo in this.
There was a parable. Once there was a man who found a very valuable pearl, and he sold everything he had to possess it. Here's the question. Are you valuable as that pearl that God gave everything to possess you? And the answer to that question is yes. He gave up everything on the cross to possess you. You, in that sense, are that valuable pearl. Let me tell you something. One point in my life, after I was born again, I took up a job in a hospital. And you know, I didn't have a lot of money, I wasn't highly educated, and I didn't have a lot of nice things to wear. And I used to walk to the doctors like this. Hello, sir, how you doing? And I'd hang my head down, because I was embarrassed because I wasn't a highly educated person at that time. And one day, the charge nurse, well, I tell you what, the charge nurse is somebody who's in charge of the entire Florida hospital. And she walked up to me, and she was a Christian woman. And she said, Kevin! Yes, ma'am. Look at people in the eye when you talk to them. Don't be afraid to look at the doctors in the eye, or the lawyers, or anybody else that comes up here. Don't be afraid to look at me in the eye. I said, yes, ma'am. She says, you are valuable. We hired you because we thought you had something valuable to give to us. Do you have something valuable to give to us? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She goes, therefore, you need to look at me and look at the doctors in the eye when you talk to them. They are the same as you. Now, let me tell you something. That changed the course of the rest of my stay there in the hospital. I saw that I was valuable. I was hired as a valuable person. And I had something to contribute. You are valuable. You have something to contribute. If it was not true, then God would have sold everything, which was His Son, Jesus Christ, nailed to the cross to purchase you. You are valuable.
That's good. That's good. So as you go about your daily activities in the next day, the next week, the next month, the upcoming months, this year, just walk around with your head up high, right? Because why? You are valuable to God and have a special part to play. You agree?